When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey! Happy Friday afternoon, you beautiful radio listeners. I hope everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful start to their weekend, because, man, we are close. There's no Isaac, there's no Suk. It is a short show today, but you've got me, Luke Anderson. You've got that man right there, Ryan Buckley.
Hello.
What is happening, young man?
I'm excited, man.
Dude, this is, I was having the conversation with a guy named Jason Swigard earlier
sure.
this week.
I know of him.
Yeah, may have even been broadcast this conversation. This will be the greatest weekend of college football ever. Only to be surpassed by the following weekend, which actually isn't a weekend, in fairness, because that will be midweek. But
hey, that you could argue that that'll be the best New Year's Day of college football ever.
Yes.
You know?
All the things about this are great. I am a little ashamed of Danny and Dusty. I guess more so Dusty, because I'm sitting in the chair that he was just in. Instead of having college game day and just having, like, just seeing the environment, I switch it over to college game day. There's the big Washington State flag flying in the wind.
Sure.
Everybody's wearing their winter gear. Kurt Cignetti sitting on the set. Like, just the hype for this game. And it looks brisk and it looks cold. It's a night game in South Bend, Indiana to kick it off.
People have been tailgating. People have been tailgating since 7.5 or 8 hours before the game in sub 30 temperatures.
All the things. 3 of the 4 games are going to be in the very cold. I don't know about sub-zero, but they're going
but
to be...
But 3 of them will be sub-freezing. They'll be under 32.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to see college football games this time of year that matter.
Well,
because we've had them in January or the New Year's Day games have mattered, but right now it's pre-Christmas.
So I was listening to a podcast with former Oregon Duck Jeff Schwartz on it, and he was saying that what's so interesting about these games is that we've never played football games this time of season for college with weather that matters. It happens
yes.
in the NFL all the time.
100%
you
correct.
May get yep. it in like a Big Ten or maybe even an ACC type situation, but both teams are used to it because
yep.
they play in it like late in the year. But this is the first time ever you'll have conditions factoring in the way like the Dolphins are affected when they go up to New England or whatever.
Well,
it's going to matter.
Yeah, my brain has left me momentarily, but the neutral site games
right.
are always in nice weather stadiums.
Domed or nice weather.
Tried a Super Bowl in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, had pretty nice weather for it. Worked out pretty well for the Seahawks, but... they moved away from that very quickly. But, yes, it's either domed or in nice weather. And this, to me, like, just the idea. Ohio State.
Feels more football-y,
Penn State,
doesn't it?
And Notre Dame are all hosting games in December for a chance to advance to play for a title.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
I mean, come on. It's drawn up just so great. Now, here's my question for you. I asked Swag this, and you two are different people, so you may have a different opinion.
Okay.
Do you need these games to be good or great to validate the 12-team playoff? Because I don't.
I don't.
Like just the excitement around this. Oregon's waiting in the wings. I think from a local perspective, these games aren't the ones that matter. Yeah, who you're going to play matters, but I've never had this much hype for a college football weekend.
No, ever. I mean this. Like I actually think tonight may be a game between Indiana and Notre Dame. But even if Notre Dame totally boat races them, I won't care. We haven't seen anything like this yet, where you're advancing to the next round.
Watch out, Georgia!
Right. I mean, then we get all the hype for that game. We haven't watched any of the teams with a bye play yet. So, once this comes out, there's going to be all this momentum on the team coming in. And, we've even seen that in, the NCAA tournament with play-in teams, the teams that barely make the field. They win a game, they get on a roll, they knock off somebody who's seeded better than them. And, I don't know that. I mean, we could see all the favorites win here, and I wouldn't even be surprised, but that's not going to make the 12-team playoff not worth it. It's worth it for all those teams to have these games that everyone's going to be watching.
Well, and just the idea that instead of arguing about who the fourth best team is, the arguments are about the 12th best team makes it that much better.
And that's what I thought was so silly about the Alabama grievances this year. It's like, if this was any other year in college football, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on because, you would be so far out of the top four that, your title shot doesn't matter, but now you have a beef because you're a three-loss team that is, finished 13th.
I want to get in that tournament. But to have SMU, Boise State, Arizona State, Clemson with a win eking in is even fine.
And you know what? I think Boise State and Arizona State, who people are kind of dogging, I think they can both win their first game.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But the idea that in a field this big that they shouldn't have a shot at it is a little odd. Now, the seeding, I get it. You can make your arguments about it, but this is the closest college football has ever been to getting it right.
Correct.
And
the outcome of these next four games won't change that.
I think the biggest problem this week has been the fact that the transfer portal still exists.
The calendar sucks.
Yeah, well, and the Bo Prabula.
Yeah, that's right.
Thing is just, that's idiotic. And I don't care. If he's got a better offer and he can make more money, he still had a choice. If he wanted to play for Penn State, he had a choice. I don't want to hear any of that.
That's what people said. There are other guys for other teams that are in the portal, and they're still playing their game with their current team.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. I mean, that's happened in bowl games already that weren't even college football playoff games. I think there's a couple kids from Arizona State who are doing that.
Okay.
Then that makes me wonder, why couldn't Prabula do the same thing? Say, I gotta leave to go pursue my own thing, but I'll hang with you guys until this thing's over.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, people have already, and I think this is the best argument for it. I was hearing Herb Street talk about it. He's like, if you're playing for the Chicago Bears and your team doesn't make the playoff, you don't get to decide in week 14, I'm out of here. You and the coach.
Easy 49er fan. Easy does it.
Yeah, Devondre Campbell has other ideas, I suppose. But point being, nobody else just starts picking their destination at the end of the current season. We have to be waiting till January for this stuff to happen.
I guess I just find the most humorous part about it is, it's tied to the school year, so they have to do it.
That's by far the most, it's dumb.
Just how long before we just separate college football from college? They still have the teams and you still have the things, but this pretending that the academics matter in the world of NIL.
Right, because the only thing holding it up is then they won't be able to enroll in January. Who cares? Just let them start going to class when they get there. They missed a couple weeks. You missed the syllabus. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
One of the fun conversations we had earlier this week, talking to a guy from Tennessee, covers the Vols for VolQuest.com. And I asked him how many games he would trade in Tennessee, who's number one in the country in their basketball season. I said, what would you trade in future wins for your basketball team to win just this one game to get to the Rose Bowl?
Say all of them?
He did he goes, what are they, 31? Yeah, I would trade every single one of them, in a second. But yeah, it just for one win, not for a national championship, but just to get past Ohio State. So that's the other thing is, having talked with, Suk about his big games, or Will Darkins, who hosts with me on Saturdays, about the biggest games that he played in. These games for the players, for the fans, for SMU, who got the death penalty in the 80s, and they wiped their program off the map, for them to have have a chance to play against the biggest names and just prove themselves. If they don't go out there swinging everything that they got at Penn State, I would be shocked. If they're not up to the task, fine. But at least they got to do it. And at least
somebody pointed out.
At least it's not in the national title game.
100%. Yeah, I mean that's. And we had this solves the problem of like the Florida State issue from last year,
or
right?
The Cincinnati from two
years
ago.
Of course. So like why, you can still let those teams in, and we can prove that they did or didn't belong very easily.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do here with SMU.
Yeah.
They had a great season. They have earned it to this point, but they're not going to get very far in this playoff if they're not up to it.
Yep, exactly. Well, and the endurance part of this too, right?
Sure.
This will be the hardest fought national champion ever.
Yep.
And they will have played the most rigorous schedule, and they will have faced the most tests. But how many times does Tennessee play in a Rose Bowl?
Never, probably.
I think they did once in back in the 40s, I think I was told.
Yeah.
How often does, you know, Clemson get a chance to take on Texas? I mean, I don't know that I've seen that game very often for Boise State to take on either one of these schools.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is in. And we're going at it. And to start it off with an in-state rival in the snow, night game, I don't know if there's a much better way to start it.
No, I absolutely love it. I don't care if it's 100 to nothing. I'm geeked out.
Is it perfect? No.
Maybe not.
Is it close? Closer?
That's right.
Yeah.
Better than it was before. No doubt about that.
That's all we got. So sitting as an Oregon fan, do you have the same gripes or have you gotten over those? The seating is wrong and we shouldn't have to
play? I never was in a spot where I'm like, this sucks this. I mean, I do think you could make an argument that another team's path is better, but we won't know that until any of these teams play the games.
Totally.
Like so maybe it seems like Penn State has an easier road because they play SMU and then they play Boise State.
Yep.
But like, I don't know. Maybe they got knocked off by one of them. Like,
yeah.
It's impossible. The fact that we don't have that crystal ball, it seems like makes bitching about it just silly.
Yeah,
like there's no, it's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
That was folksy.
I don't understand why people have wasted time and energy on this. And Dan Lanning has said as much. I mean, for as much as like the Kirby Smarts of the world complain about their schedule and the SEC and blah, 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 like calling out their commissioner as soon as they win the championship, Lanning's like, we don't really care who we play. You can roll the ball out in the parking lot against anybody. Like, we'll go out there and do it. And you know what? If we do have the harder road, then kudos to us when we pull it off. You know, like, it's we're not going to be able to get this perfect. The tough thing about it is teams that have disappointed in the regular season but had high expectations early in the season, they end up falling to that kind of middle range that people who have had the perfect season don't want to end up rematched up with. So it's going to be a little bit flawed. I think the most fun way to deal with this would be to have the four bye teams choose their opponent in like, so Oregon gets the first pick, you know, I thought that would be, they're never going to do it, but how great a drama would that be? Dan Lanning has to go on ESPN and say, all right, out of the first round, we select these guys. And then
great.
That coach is like, they want us. They want, you know, you get all hyped about that.
I don't hate that. And then you get all the billboard material.
Of course.
Let's go.
And then the team who had the best resume, who got the bye, doesn't have a leg to stand on when they say we got hosed by by the bracket. You picked this.
Oh, and then if once every 15 years that team lost.
You create rivalries for life against schools you didn't have them with. And
yeah, well, the nice thing about college football is, yes, they're always wrong, but they're at least willing to change. And the other benefit of them being willing to change is it really pisses a lot of people off, because anytime they make a change, they made the wrong change. So you're never going to get it right in everyone's eyes, because it was already perfect the way it was.
Sure.
Or it was so terrible the way it was that, all you're doing is just putting, you know, a Band-Aid on a amputation. It's not helping anything. So you're never going to get it just right, but I cannot remember being this excited about a weekend of football. And here's the real benefit.
And the next month of football.
Well, this has always been my favorite time of year, because you get the end of the regular NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these matchups. Last night, a perfect example of it. But here's the thing, too. Tomorrow, you have three college football games. Latticed over them as it goes, you get your 9 o'clock kick, SMU and Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock, you're getting Texans.
I don't
Chiefs.
Know how I feel about this.
Well,
like,
but if the game's not good,
that's true.
You have alternate viewing that does not go with it.
That's
and then
true.
If the middle game is not good, you have the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers playing about that. It's not great, but you know why those games are there,
right? Yeah, no,
because those four teams are also playing Christmas Day. I mean, come on, this next week,
it's going to be wild and it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be fantastic. Speaking of last night's Thursday night football game, if you missed it, you missed an opportunity to witness something that happens once every 50 years in the NFL. So we will tell you what that is and talk about where it leaves the teams and much more when we talk about the Los Angeles Chargers and the Denver Broncos. We do that next. It is Prime Time with Luke and Buck on 1080 The Fan. Well, I don't know about you, Ryan Buckley, but this is my last show before Christmas, so we'll be celebrating with our fans.
Not mine.
Not yours?
No, there will be one more live edition of Primetime before Christmas. That will be Monday.
Isaac and Suk?
Nope, that'll be another SOB edition. Schulze, Ortner, and Buckley. And then we will all be off for Christmas Eve day and the day after. Isaac will be back on the 27th.
All right. Well, there you go. There you have the lineup. Today's show only goes until 4:30. Then we will kick it right over to pregame for the first ever first round of the 12-team college football playoff.
So hyped.
That's why you work in sports, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Way more fun to be part of this than it would be, you know, doing like real work right now.
Yeah. No kidding.
What fun would that be? Sometimes things happen at your job, though, that you have no idea what's going on. Last night, Khalil Mack admitted that he really had no idea what was going on at the end of the first half. And if you were watching the end of the first half with no sound on while you were trying to help your kids wrap presents and get the house decorated and finish up dinner.
Or like
and
me.
And move things around and do all of that.
Editing audio, editing audio from the previous day's show. So I'm like, it was all happening on mute because I was working with audio. And I'm like, what the? And then I had to go to Twitter to understand all of it in retrospect.
Oh, I had rewind. So what I did was put the sound on. And
I could have done that. I just didn't.
And my wife's like, what? Didn't this already happen? I go, yes, I have no idea what is going on. No idea what is going on here. The best part about this was they asked Jim Harbaugh. And they're like, oh, did you know about this rule? He goes, I try to do a fair catch free kick every single game. His entire career. Special teams very aware of it. Dicker, the kicker, who was the one that made the free kick for 3 points at the end of the first half, said that as soon as he joined the Chargers, he was informed of the rules. So this is something that is not a secret to the people that are in charge of special teams or in the charge of football teams.
But it's just so rare that the circumstance presents itself where you would be able to use it. Or attempt it that we never see it.
So for anybody that didn't watch the game, here is the rule and the scenario. So if you fair catch a punt and there is zero time left on the clock at the end of either half, you're allowed to try a free kick. So essentially setting it up like a kickoff. But if you make it through the uprights, you get 3 points. It is not a snapped field goal. It is not a defended kick. It is set up just like a field goal. And if you do not make it, the other team has a chance to return it.
Right. I did see the people, or like at least one player lined up under the goalpost like we've seen for people trying the extra long end of game field goals.
So in last night's game, the Denver Broncos are punting at the end of the half. The Chargers call for a fair catch. And then there's actually a receiver interference. So,
and that's what enabled this whole thing.
Yep. Broncos. Well, I mean, I guess I could have tried it from 15 yards back, but yeah, you're dead right. So, well, I mean, what do you have to lose in that scenario, too? It would have been fun. They've tried 60-plus yard free kicks. But anyways, the 15-yard penalty makes it a 57-yard kick, and they set it at the line of scrimmage lineup. I was watching it with my kids running around doing the whole thing. I had no clue what was going on, and they kept going back and forth, and Dicker is warming up, then he's not, then he's on the field, then Herbert's out there, and they're just going back and forth. The really interesting thing about the whole pattern of events is I believe the Broncos were up 21-10 at the time.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And then the Chargers make the 57-yard kick, they get the 3 points, they go into the half, and you can kind of feel it. Like, they interview Sean Payton and whatever. It feels like the momentum was switched. And turns out that was the case, because the Broncos went on to score 6 points in the second half. The Chargers went on to score 20 points in the second half. And Los Angeles gets out of there with the victory. Now, they did not secure a playoff spot. Denver would have with a win. So now you've got two teams,
right,
both in the same same division, without a chance to win the division, just playing for wild card games. That makes things a little bit wilder. The other thing that it does, which for my rooting interest. Makes it maybe a little bit easier for the Bengals to get in. That is the team that doesn't deserve to be there that I want to get in.
It's funny you bring them up because, as I think I've mentioned to you before, no one else in Radioland cares about this, but I play in this super fantasy league where we play like combined 10 sports over a year and a half, and you have to pick a team in every major league.
Yep.
And so I basically got a futures ticket on the Bengals from early in the year, and I'm like, I loved all their potential, and it has been excruciating watching them blow games that they should have won.
What have they lost? Five last possession games or single possession games?
The stat that was most impressive to me was that at one point the Bengals were 2-4 this season when scoring 33 or more points, and the rest of the league was 52-1 in such situations.
I mean, the numbers that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are putting up in defeat is gross.
Speaking of Burrow, did you see what he did for his linemen?
No, I did not.
For Christmas?
No.
He got them all authentic Japanese katana swords.
What?
I'll pull up the tweet about it in the break. Left tackle Orlando Brown was talking about it. They all have like a story and an origin behind them, and he let each of his warriors choose their sword. It was like they said Joe Burrow gives the most thoughtful, awesome gifts at Christmas every year, and this year it was katana swords.
If you lose your left tackle because he poked himself with
his sword, he's playing Fruit Ninja outside.
Oh my God, that would be the story of stories. The last thing I am giving big testosterone filled men is blades. Like, come on. Yeah. I don't think that's the best idea.
I think he's given them golf carts before.
So I have not watched the in-season Hard Knocks, but I started the first episode. Did he buy himself a Batmobile?
Yeah. So they being like the movie producers or whoever made the one for the movie, they essentially did a limited release. They made like 30 of these Batmobiles or something like that. But they were going to cost like, I want to say like $3 million each or something like that. And Burrow just decided he had to have one of them. They are drivable. However, they are not street legal. Okay. So you can have it and it does work, but you can't take it out.
Okay. Why? Why?
I don't know.
See, now I don't have a problem with the people getting paid what they're worth. This is the first time I have a real good argument that Joe Burrow's getting paid too much money. He's got to have something better to do with than buying Japanese blades with great stories for his guys to. How many times a year does a major league pitcher miss a game because of an injury with a toaster or shaving or something
or
like that?
Cutting up a bagel or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Butter knife went through a cold stick of butter or whatever. There are 100 of those a year. Somebody had the drone. Like they were trying to fix a drone.
Trevor Bauer, the dude who's been basically exercised from baseball.
Exercised.
Exiled, I should say. Yeah. But maybe exercise.
I was going to say, did they do a send in the exorcist?
There's a seance and everything.
Yeah, it was a whole wild thing. But yeah, I don't know that I absolutely love that. Do you have any rooting interest in who makes the wild card in the AFC other than the Bengals?
I mean, it's cool just as a Duck alum to see both Knicks and Herbert in the mix, especially considering that they're also in the same division that has Patrick Mahomes, and they could both get playoff spots despite being like up against that. I think that's cool, and I think for a lot of Duck fans, seeing one of those guys make a run would be special. But I mean, rooting interest. I'm an NFC guy, so not really.
Okay. For the matchup between Herbert and Knicks, a lot of Ducks fans go, it's hard to know who to root for. Is it? Isn't Herbert the truer of the Ducks? The more pure,
I mean,
homegrown,
Eugene
freshman.
Legend. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Bo Nix.
But that's like
Auburn transfer Bo Nix.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I just hope both guys play well. And, like, I wasn't really rooting for one over the other.
Jeezy.
It was an awesome game. Herbert balled out.
Yes, he
was
absolutely
really good.
On a bad ankle when it mattered most. Well, and that's really the thing that I always root for in the NFL in games that I don't have interest, is I want the final possession to decide the game.
Yeah.
Is really what I want. And usually I will root for whoever's on offense, but I'll kind of decide as the game goes on. But I think the Chargers, despite Jim Harbaugh, because I'm not a Jim Harbaugh fan.
He's such an odd duck.
He's just very. Well, and he's almost like
locked, cocked, ready to rock.
If you were to put John Harbaugh through like the evil twin filter, doesn't it feel like Jim?
Yeah, very much so.
So, yeah, I just can't get back.
Drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
But the Chargers, I find likable as captain by Justin Herbert to all the years with Philip Rivers.
Harbaugh's a weirdo, but like even when you did you watch his post game speech in the locker room? It's incredibly authentic. It's cheesy and it's dumb. They sing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow" as a team after they win. It's like cringy old school, but like somehow it's like his enthusiasm is real, and I think he gets buy-in for that.
Well, he has one of the best winning percentages in NFL history. He's coming off a national championship. He's taken a team to a Super Bowl. So, I mean, listen, the results, it's very hard to argue with that Jim Harbaugh doesn't, get the best out of his team. I just found the Chargers for most of my life have been big pile of meh. Like the Philip Rivers years, you want to root for LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, and you're like, okay, this is all great. But then it's like, but the quarterback's Philip Rivers. With Justin Herbert, it does make them likable. The Broncos, I still find insufferable, even with Bo Nix. And I don't know, that maybe it's something about wearing the orange and dark blue that makes me think of him as an Auburn quarterback more than a Ducks quarterback.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, you could make the argument that both guys have had not the most dynamic personalities, but that Herbert has started to come out of his shell, and you've seen a little bit more who he is, like personally, individually, and he's grown and matured in the NFL in that way, and Nick's hasn't done that yet, and maybe he will, but I think that right now, Herbert's also just the more likable guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Not because Bo isn't, but just because there's less that we know there.
And for Jim Harbaugh to be unlikable, I don't think is a big stretch for a lot of people, even if you like him because he's weird. But on the other side, he's more likable. Jim Harbaugh is more likable than Sean Payton. If anybody in the NFL, that guy, it looks like when he was out of the league, did he just suck on like sour grapes? Does his face look like it is just permanently scowled?
Yeah, it does.
Oh boy. Yeah. Sean Payton, he does not look like fun to be around.
I don't think that he is.
Yeah, that's kind of the guess that I have.
Did you see the yelling dust up that he and Nix got in earlier in the year where they like he was basically
I did not.
He like screamed at Nix like I told you to do this and Nix had either checked out or something. And to Nix's credit, didn't back down. He's like, and he like screamed back that he was trying, and they asked Nix about it after the game, and Nix was really quick about it. He goes, "Oh, he just said to me, I love you, and I said, I love you too, and then we just moved on to the next play."
That's the thing about starting 75 college football games is he knows how to handle any situation that he's in. Hey, let's do a quick bounce around the NBA. I want to talk about your Golden State Warriors, Big Cat's return to Minnesota, and some other news and notes from around the association. We will do that, but first we need to get to a Sports Center update.
Hee-hee, Magic Johnson.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Ryan Buckley, I think you know that I love you.
I do.
I don't criticize your producing very often, but you know, if you're gonna play the rejoin, you need to let Dominic the Donkey breathe a little bit. And you bring it up.
What I was trying to do was actually get the liner out of the way so that we can really appreciate it. But
yeah. Well, this will be my last show. No Sinner and Saint tomorrow. This is a holiday tradition that we always play Dominic the Donkey on the Sinner and the Saint, or the final show that I do before Christmas. So one or the other. And this is it. This is your first time hearing Dominic the Donkey?
That's true.
You're welcome.
It's really lovely. It reminds me of there's a children's book that we read with my boys called The Wonky Donkey.
Okay.
And they have a song that's associated with that as well. And this is like a more Italian kind of spicy version of that.
Well, he's the Italian Christmas donkey.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, the hills of Italy are too tall for the reindeer, so it's a good one. If you don't have this in your holiday rotation, shame on you. My favorite part is here at Odyssey Portland, Charlie plays Christmas music, and I had to petition them to put Dominic the Christmas Donkey into rotation.
And did they?
And it is now in rotation. Nice. On Charlie
Christmas. Well, I'll be debuting another one that we haven't heard yet, has not been in the system, that was a new one that I picked up this year. I don't know that it would make the Charlie rotation, but we'll see.
One of my favorite is The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York.
Don't know that one.
Ooh, you do not grab that without making sure that it is edited properly, because there is at least one of the F words that we're not allowed to use.
Sure.
In it, but it is a great song. So if you want to find it, we should have it a clean version in there, because we played that one before as well. So if you have favorite Christmas songs, there is the Vancouver Ford text line, and you're welcome to text them in.
But unfortunately, we only have about 2 more spots to play songs.
Well, then put them in right now.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm saying if they want a text, they need to get it going right now. 503-2-GO-FAN. That's TOGOFAN, or 503-864-6326. Right now we need to talk about some basketball, and I'll tell you, my NBA viewing is limited this time of year. There are more important things that take priority for my viewing and just the time that I spend. But I do like to keep on what's going up with what's going on. The Blazers get a nice win last night, unless you're hoping that they can get a draft pick.
Yeah, it's not I don't a nice consider win. That a nice win.
That's my point. Make a decision what you're going to do, and then don't get excited. They beat the Nuggets. The Nuggets aren't that good. They have a great, great player, but that team is not as good as it once was. But I was so happy to be doing a show with you when I read the headline that the Grizzlies hold Curry to 0 field goals in 51-point rout.
Yeah.
Come on! Yeah. How good did that feel?
Well, not very. Not for me. I mean, I don't think much of this Warriors team this season. As most Warriors fans are frustrated they haven't gotten Steph some younger help, because he's still got a year or a good year or two left before he probably falls off. And seeing this is rough.
So here
they used to be the guys. I watched them beat Memphis by 50 back,
sure, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, looking at the quotes from the team, Curry says, we have to accept that we don't have the answer for how a team's guarding us. And obviously we didn't have the answer. So he's pretty calm about it. It seemed like Steve Kerr was pretty fine. I know who we are. I know what our team is about. I know we've got competitors. I know we're going to bounce back. So I'm confident about that. That's Steve Kerr's reaction to this. Do you remember too beat up on the Blazers when Chauncey Billups decided to go postal and call everybody losers if they can sleep well tonight?
You're a loser.
That very rant right there.
Yeah.
That would be Steve Kerr and the Warriors, right?
No, it was the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, it was the Grizzlies who did it? It was
the same team that did it. They lost by, and I think they lost by 30. Here's the thing, Chaunce. Your team is supposed to be losing like
this. You're a loser.
And what does that Blazers team do after they lose it, or they get whooped up on by the Memphis Grizzlies? They bounce back and they beat up on the Timberwolves two games in a row. Now, that seems like very nice wins, and you're beating a very good team. But what's the other headline I saw last night?
That Ant Simons won a game they weren't supposed to win?
Nope. Memphis, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the team that they beat up on, welcomed back Cat. Karl-Anthony Towns comes in and has a historic night. He goes 30-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, 100% from three, made five of them. He is the first player in NBA history to have that 30-plus points, 20-plus, and perfect from three-point line with five or more attempts, which is one of those stats that's like, okay, cool, so you found something that nobody else had done and added those all up. Very good. But it seems like, I don't know how you felt about it at the time, my thought was, that's a pretty good trade for Minnesota. Get Julius Randle. You can move Naz Reid into the starting lineup. He was very efficient from three. He's a better defender than Cat. He seemed more consistent. You get DiVincenzo, so you can add like another good scoring option. But
I thought that the trade was really fair.
Sure.
I think it gave the Timberwolves way more flexibility because you have more pieces to do the things you're trying to do. Like I didn't think that New York necessarily got hosed. I thought that Cat was a good fit for them. I thought it made sense for both sides, except for Dante DiVincenzo, who was pretty pissed off about it.
Well, yeah, but the reason he was so mad about it, A, he loves New York.
Well, he broke up his Villanova boys.
It was all Villanova.
That's right.
And he was the one that gets shipped out. He's like, come on, I got to play with all my
dudes.
So he
had words for just about everybody, including Jalen Brunson's dad, who's an assistant coach.
But what's great about Dante DiVincenzo? That he is fiery.
Yeah.
That dude.
Yep. Spicy Italian.
Yeah. There you go. But right now, if I have it correct, the Minnesota Timberwolves 14-12. The New York Knicks are 17-10. It's not a dramatic difference in it, but it feels like the third seed for the Knicks much better than the eighth seed for the Timberwolves out west. And even Anthony Edwards out there saying that they need to figure some things out. So it's a long season. The NBA's got a long way to go, but teams will correct themselves. This will get sorted out. The Warriors will probably be fine. The Blazers need to stop trying. You're not losers just because you lose.
You're a loser.
You're trying to build a franchise, and you might want to get some potential stars on your team. The way to do that, unfortunately, there are only two ways to do it. Through the draft or tricking the Clippers into giving you a potential future MVP player like SGA. That's it. Find a dumb team that's willing to give up talent that they don't realize they have because they're stupid. And I don't know if there's anybody on the Clippers like that right now, because I will not watch Clippers basketball if I don't have to.
You know what? The guy who is on the Clippers doing that right now that the Blazers already had, Norman Powell.
Yeah, but Norman Powell.
He is a borderline all-star this year.
Okay. So. Is he a centerpiece?
No.
Okay. Did you think that
SGA very much is.
Did you think that he would be when?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, he was really damn good, and they didn't really have, I think, the shots and because he was there in L.A. with...
He was part of the Paul George trade. So it was what a weird thing that you have where you could just have a player in Kawhi Leonard show up and be like, you know who I want to play with is this dude. And then they just go, okay, well, I guess...
The fact that started happening, I mean, it really started kind of with LeBron, basically.
Yeah.
Back when he was like, when they made the Heatles, and it was like, oh, actually, it's not just going to be me and Wade. I want Bosch to come over here, too.
Yep.
And like, I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
And that worked, but it didn't work nearly as well as they thought it would.
No.
I mean, that was the fun part of it.
Well, that's the thing is that the players make it seem like it's so easy to do, and that if it happens, then it'll automatically work. Well, it doesn't.
Nope.
I mean, it rarely does. It worked for the Warriors when they said, oh, like Durant wants to join up with them, but most of the others, it has not worked.
No, and the best one of all time was KD trying to orchestrate with Kyrie Irving to
with Brooklyn.
Brooklyn,
yeah.
Oh, just so
and
good.
Brooklyn's actually done that a couple times with, like, remember when they did it with, like, Darren Williams and Garnett?
Well, and they got, like, didn't they have Paul Pierce come over too?
I think that's right.
Yeah. They're like, you know what we'll do? We'll just take that team that won a championship over there with Boston. We'll just put them over here and we'll see how that works.
They're like, look at this three-headed monster. They're like, you're like 5 years too late. What are you doing?
They had James Harden and you just go, oh, man, the Nets are going to be so good. And then it just collapsed. It's so great. A couple other things worth noting in the NBA. We will do those next. I don't know if we've talked about this, Buck. Are we doing? We don't have to hit any of the benchmarks today. We're too early for that.
That's correct. We'll be off the air before In the News, Hot
that's
Five,
what I
any of that.
I just realized that. Yep, So what we'll do is we'll hit a couple more basketball news and notes from last night, and then we will get back into football, wrap up the half hour, and send you off into the night to watch a snowy matchup between Indiana and the hosting Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Oh, man, I'm pumped about this. Let's go. We will be back in a moment. This is a Luke and Buck edition of Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
His name is Max. He's coughing my cook. That is a fact.
This, the Grinch.
Yeah, this is the Grinch the by Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, is this different? Is this not in any of the...
It's in the newest one,
that's what I thought.
Which is the animated... Benedict Cumberbatch edition.
Yeah, I've only watched that once. My kids absolutely love it, and they watch it as many times as they can.
My oldest son loves it. Yeah. And so we play this in the car and stuff.
Oh, there you go. This is your jam.
It's tolerable. I mean, if you're going to have something on repeat, it's kind of got an easygoing vibe to it.
The daughters, my twins are 8 years old now. They have discovered Carol of the Bells by Lindsey Stirling. So they are throwing on beautiful violin music with a great intensity and fervor, which I kind of enjoy. I'm like, I can handle that. There's no lyrics. There's no.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a lot more annoying things that they can do, like the entire Rise of Red soundtrack over and over and over and over and over. Over again. 25, I digress. So let's take a look at a couple other things that happened in the NBA last night. One, I probably should have led with this because it's so valuable and everybody loves this guy so much. But LeBron James, all-time leader in minutes in NBA history. He eclipsed the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Of course, everybody knows that LeBron took over the all-time points record.
LeBron James.
But now he is also the minutes holder. That is, he's played 3,446,940 seconds. That's equivalent to 957.5 hours, 39.9 days, or 5.7 weeks of NBA basketball in his life.
It's funny. I was... Obviously, a game is only 48 minutes, and you can only tally so many of these. That number kind of seems low. Yeah. I feel like LeBron probably has, in my head, had months worth of games under
his
belt.
It's only 5.7 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, it is 57,447
I mean, it's
minutes.
Still a crap ton of basketball.
Well, it is.
Don't get me wrong.
And that's minutes on the floor. That's,
right.
That does not
count,
you know, the time he spends in timeouts and warm-ups and pregame and practice and post-conference. I mean, he's dedicated his entire life to basketball. LeBron James, also the only player ever with 30,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, and 10,000 assists. He is currently 26 on the assist. Wait. Did this really just happen? No, that can't be right. All-time assist leader. There he is. All-time rebounds leader. He is number 25, and he is number 4 on the all-time assists leader.
Right, I was going to say, better than 26th in the assists.
No,
I think.
I know. I had it on rebounds and not assists. But yeah, so he is right now 11,237 assists. The all-time leader, John Stockton, with 15,806. So he will not be getting that. He is 26th on the list. The highest of any active player in rebounding. He has 11,383.
Is he going to jump a bunch more people before the end or only a handful?
He is, the next closest is Patrick Ewing. He is 250 shy. Care to guess what Wilt Chamberlain's all-time record is if LeBron has 11,000?
Oh, man. I mean, Wilt was having like 40 rebound games at some point. So, like, a lot of them. I'll say Wilt's got 22,000 boards.
23,000.
Is that right?
Very good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that? Nice work on you. Yeah. He has 23,000. Well, he almost has 24,000. 23,924. Bill Russell has 21,600. So, there you go. Should officials threaten players with technical fouls?
That's an interesting question, because there are times that I think that officials are too quick with the technical whistle. And if you're saying, keep that up or I'll give you a technical, like, you're allowing a little bit of flavor into the game without letting it go too far. But also, it's like, if you have to warn the guy, maybe just team up and let him know. I could be convinced either way on that.
Yeah, so apparently Jaylen Brown was threatened with a tech, and he does not
respond
kindly
to that.
Find that very appropriate. So he was talking to the official. Missoula was teed up, and he said, told the official that he called the tech for no reason, and then the referee goes, "We'll say that again, and I'll give you a tech." I kind of like that.
Yeah,
I think I'm with you. I think it seems like perfectly in line. Going. Hey, you know what? I don't want this game to get out. My job is to control the game. I've been given the power of the technical foul to shut you up.
What would Jaylen Brown actually rather have? The warning or getting a tech?
Yeah.
I mean,
because I can give you a technical foul for, you know, anything within these parameters.
Sure.
But the whole idea is that you're controlling the game. I think it's fair.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. The other one that I really liked is we were watching the teddy bear toss a couple weeks ago at the Winterhawks game.
Yep.
And my wife looked over at me with a little bit of shock on her eyes when the two players from the opposing teams threw their gloves down, circled back to center ice, and did full-on square-up fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I find that to be delightful. It's a ton of fun.
Just a beautiful juxtaposition.
It is, but I've always said that I like NBA fights. If I could take any fights, I love the idea of these guys squaring up because it's just haymakers, and it's all bravado, and nobody really wants to punch each other. In hockey, I think they want to punch
each
other.
In fact, they've agreed upon it.
But they're also very padded up,
and
helmets come off sometimes. Glove comes off most of the time.
And, like, they know what they're doing. They've done this enough it's almost like a dance.
One of my favorite players, I think ever since the moment, I don't know if you saw the interview where the reporter did not recognize Jordan Clarkson as Jordan Clarkson and asked him about the Jazz game coming up.
No.
Still one of my favorite clips.
I did not see that.
This is from like 2021, it's recommended viewing. So if you'd like to go back, it's like a local reporter asking about the Jazz game to Jordan Clarkson, not realizing that he's a player on the team. But he squared up against the Pistons last night, and he was ready to scrap. And I just love it when it leads a team to victory. Just like, he gets tossed, everybody gets fired up, and then they go on to defeat Detroit, which obviously they should. But two bad teams going out there. There's something about squaring up in the NBA that I absolutely love. And he goes chest bump. I think it was the center chest bump, and then somebody else steps in, and he just squares up like, let's go. And they immediately just go, get out. Come on. Can we just let him, like, take a couple swings before we leave?
The fan text line with a good point. Umpires threaten ejections in baseball. And NFL officials threaten to throw in sportsmanlike flags on coaches, on players. So
there you go. Well, here's the thing. NBA players, especially Boston Celtics players, tend to be insufferable. I really want to like Jaylen Brown. Can't figure out how to do it. I could never quite throw my endorsement behind Marcus Smart when he was there. I certainly can't decide that Jason Tatum is worth watching. There's just something about that team.
Joe Mazzulla is some other type of dude.
Oh, he is a weirdo. Well, he was the one that was yelling at the referee when Jaylen Brown had to step in to defend his coach for some reason. So, yeah, that whole, like, and it's not historic. It's not all time. Loved Garnett. Paul Pierce was fine. Loved Ray Allen. Like, there have been guys, Larry Bird, obviously. There's something about the way this team that they're constituted. I would have been perfectly happy if they never won anything, but they're defending champs. And you know what? Good on the Olympic team to be like, you don't get to play. We'll put you on the team, but you're not going to play.
Sure.
It's fantastic. Something about these guys that just drives me crazy. college football is, an hour away? We're exactly an hour away from the kickoff
indeed.
For the first ever. We'll dive back into the college football playoff, get you ready for the NFL weekend, and send you off with a wonderful gift for the holidays. More football! We do it next. It is primetime with Luke and Buck on 1080 The Fan.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.